Hello and welcome to Faith Center. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Faith Center, visit us online at www.faithcenter.cc. This morning I'm speaking on come to the waters. How many know that you can take a horse to the, I think the saying goes, you know, you can take them to that, right? But you can't make them drink, right? Why is it that you could take someone to the bar and they can drink? No problem. You buying? Isn't that right? You'll be like, you buying? And you're like ordering like crazy. But all of a sudden, when it comes to Jesus, you freeze up. Hello, are you still here? All of a sudden, you're like, well, you know, I don't want too much. Isn't that right? Come on, talk to me. Isn't that right? Well, John chapter 4. Last week, you know, we started talking about, right, a life without Jesus is like a world without water. And we begin to talk about that, and we begin to look at that, and we went to the scriptures concerning, you know, what a life would be like without water. How many remember that, whether we hit on that? And then we also talked about, as we went into it, we also talked about the need or why water was needful for us. And I kind of read to you a bunch of health stuff, you know. Some of you were flashing back to junior high. And I told you the benefits of drinking water, how critical water is for us. And the benefits that you get from drinking water, praise God. You know, you look 1,000 times better when you drink water. Amen. You really will. Trust me. And so water really is powerful. Let me quote to you a couple of scriptures concerning water. So today I want to speak on living waters. Come to the waters. And man, I was thinking about that old school song called Living Waters. Come, remember that old song? Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Come, man, where's the musicians when you need them? But come to the waters. I'm hoping that we, you know, it's old school song. But I'm hoping that we'll learn that song with a nice modern twist. What that song says to us that there's come to the waters, there is a vast supply. And it says to us to come drink of that living water. Now let me quote to you a couple of scriptures concerning water. Zechariah 13:1, you can write it down for the sake of time. But it says these words, and this is prophetic words, prophetic word of the Lord. And listen to what he says over in Zacharias. He says in Zacharias 13:1, we'll find out. It says, you're going to have to be fast because I'm going to move through that. But 13:1, it says, in that day, what day is that? Jesus, power of God, coming and doing what he's going to do. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And listen to this fountain. What does that fountain do? For sin and for uncleanness. Wow, a fountain for sin and uncleanness. You know, one of the things I forgot to say last week about one of the health benefits, because, you know, when I was referencing about that world without water, I spoke to you about how eventually water will become such a rare commodity, a rare thing. It really is. And when you look at it through a global perspective and you see what's going on around the world, you know, at one time there, certain parts of the world, kids and people were losing limbs over diamonds, where you would go into villages and you would see some missing arms, limbs, and that was because of the fight for diamonds. Eventually, and I'm just saying, that one day even water will become such a rare thing. And, you know, I don't want to get all negative and put you on a bummer and all that kind of stuff, but it's true. It's happening even now. So, but one of the things I forgot to mention to you last week was this, that water also as a necessity or critical just to be clean. Amen. You ever sit next to someone? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, I read something that said that little kids, because they didn't have water even to stay clean, that they got disease and died. That's how critical. And so that's why when the Bible says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David, and I know we're not going to get into all the logistics and speak about the house of David and how that comes in, or spills over to us today. But listen to what he says. In that day, in the house of David, there'll be open a fountain, and for the inhabitants, and listen to that, for sin and for uncleanness. The next verse that I want to share with you, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, and then we're going to go into John chapter 4. And listen to what he says in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Go back up to up a little bit higher to verse 1. Let me see what's up there. I forgot. Let me see. Listen. Go up all the way. Okay, listen to this. In that day, verse 1, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Amen. You want to praise the Lord? Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. Can you say that? God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. You know, isn't it beautiful when God puts a song in your heart? The other day, I was out and about, man, and I was walking. I went for a 3-mile walk the other day. And while I was walking, the Lord just put it heavy duty to pray for my wife, just to lift her up, man. And as I began to think about her, my heart began to break, and I was thinking about how her mom, you know, how close they were and how tight they were. And for a while, her mom lived with us, and they'd be gone all the time, man, at the mall and this and that. And was I sitting home complaining and whining? No. I was like, praise the Lord, do it. But here's my point. In the middle of that, it hit me big time, heavy duty. I thought, man, she can't call her no more. She can't communicate what is done, at least in this atmosphere, is done, but on the other side. And so while I was thinking about her, I was saying, Lord, bless my woman, Lord. And so as I'm praying for her, when I got home, she's singing an old hymn. And man, I walked in and I'm hearing her sing a song. And it was a song of praise to God. And it dawned on me how powerful prayers are. When you're praying, you're thinking about somebody, God puts somebody on your mind and in your thoughts. When you'll take that opportunity, you'll begin to pray and you begin to see God move. Man, it's powerful. And listen, that's why he says, God is my salvation. I'll trust him. I won't be afraid. The Lord is my strength and what? No. The Lord is my strength and
my song.
Song. He puts a song in your heart. Man, I wish to God we would get more Holy Ghost songs. Songs that are Holy Ghost. You know, they come from the Spirit of God. Amen. Listen to this. He also has become what? My salvation. Look at verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, when you draw water from the wells of salvation, look, you'll praise the Lord. You'll call upon his name. I cannot see you, Tessa. Declare his deeds. There you go. Thank you. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Amen. Isaiah 55. You don't have to turn there. I'm almost there, and then we'll read John. Isaiah 55. Listen to what he says there. Isaiah 55, and you're going to see over in verse 1. Listen to this. Ho, everyone, or hey, everybody, right? Or yo, okay, yo, everyone, everyone who what? Anybody here thirsty? Man, I'm telling you right now, I'm thirsty. I just got through drinking a whole bottle of water, and I'm still thirsty. Man, I feel like drinking more. Have you ever felt like that about God? Where you feel thirsty? Do you thirst for God? Have you ever seen somebody that thirsts? You remember before? I'm talking BC. What's BC? Before Christ? Do you remember when you used to get thirsty? And it was like 1:55 p.m. No, a.m. No, wait a minute. Yeah, 1:55 a.m., and you knew that at 2 o'clock, they stopped selling, I was going to say dope, but no, booze. How many of you remember that? Do they still do that? Hello, do they still do that? Oh, are you trying to act all holy? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, 1 o'clock. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the information. 1 o'clock. I don't know. 1, 2. But I'm just saying that when you were thirsty, you would get in your car and you would drive 100 miles an hour to get there, and they're like, "Oh, sorry. Oh, no, 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 man. I got 30 seconds." Don't try to play me. I know. I've done that. So what is he saying? Everyone who what? Thirst. Thirst. We got any thirsty people in here? Man, are you thirsty for God? We need people that are thirsty for God. Man, we got to get thirsty for God. We got to thirst for God. That means that, man, I want to please him. I want to worship him. I want to serve him. Man, I want to live for him. I want to do everything. And you know what? And sometimes I got to deal with that thirst within my life. And what does he say? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who are broke. Have you ever been broke? Yeah. Huh? You ever been out there bumming it, trying to, hey, can I borrow $5? You know how you do it. You know, hey, tia, you got $5? No, leave me alone. But all you who have no money. So what are we talking about? The things that we're talking about that you get from God, it doesn't take money. You can't buy your way to God. You can't please God with your money. Your money will do, it will not, you know, in that sense, I'm talking about salvation. Because I don't want to contradict earlier what I told you, because I'll go to the scripture and I can show you where when you're born again. I'm not talking about salvation. When you're born again and you do things for God, man, it's a powerful thing when you do alms and whatnot. But listen to what he says. Yes, come, buy wine and milk. Amen. And, you know, of course, the wine, you know, Jesus talks about the new wine, you know, about the wine, you know, talking about new covenant. Buy wine and milk, you know, of course, satisfying and growing. without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Amen. Incline your ear. Come to me here and your soul shall live and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Amen. Now go with me to the book of John chapter 4. And I need to hurry up because I took a lot of time preferencing, laying the groundwork. Because the Bible tells us that God wants us to drink water. How many know just because you took a drink on, you know, you're going to drink water Monday, that you're not good for the rest of the week just because you drank water today, right? Hello, are you here? What does that mean? You got to keep drinking, right? You got to keep drinking. How many know that, you know, if you want to get drunk, you know, and I'm just trying to show you, don't get weird on me, okay? Oh, my God, he said drink. Duh. You know, but if you're going to get drunk, you know that you don't just do one drink. Don't be licking your chops while I'm talking about that. I'm only kidding. Even so, the reason I say that is because when it comes to God, you can't just take one drink. You know what I mean? I'm meaning that, you know, you got to keep drinking from the wells. I already read to you the scripture that tells us that he says to us that you're going to draw water. You're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. So he's saying what that means is you got to keep drawing that water. You got to keep drinking of the things of God. You got to keep taking it in. All right, so let's begin reading over in the book of John chapter 4. And most of us know the story here. And we know that, you know, here Jesus is in Samaria. And, you know, he asked the woman for a drink. And I want to pick it up over in verse 7. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, right? We're talking about water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. How many of you would go out of your way to give Jesus something? Right? Amen. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Amen. The disciples always thinking about food. Right? And did you know that in one verse he even tells them, hey, I have meat to eat of that you know not of? You remember reading that? So a lot of times they're thinking about food, man. We didn't got nothing to eat, you know. What are we going to do? The people have nothing to eat. Sit them down and don't worry about it. And then he multiplies, you know, the bread and the fish. And he fed everybody, and then the Bible says that there was even more. And so this is what Jesus does here, that he asks for a drink of water. His disciples, here they are in verse 8, they go away to buy food. And then, look at verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then Jesus answered and said to her, look at this. Underline this in your Bible. If you knew the gift of God. How many know this is what we got to do? Get to know the gift of God. Notice it's a gift of God. If you knew the gift of God. It is a gift. And who it is who says to you, give me a drink. Oh, man, underline this. Pull out your eyeliner or do whatever you got to do. And listen what he says. You would have asked him and he would have given you. Everybody, what's the next one? Living waters. You would have asked him. And he would have given you living waters. Praise God, man. All you got to do is do what? Ask. You know what we do? You know, we add verses. Well, if you're good. Well, how many times did you go to church this month? Twice? Oh, wait. Oops, sorry. You have to put a minimum, you know, like you're going to buy some, a minimum of 20% down and then make certain payments. That's how we do God. You know what he said? If you would have asked and he would have, you would have asked and he would have given you living waters. So we're talking about these living waters. Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. The woman said unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Where does this living water come from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Wow. If you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. Like I said earlier, I just drank a whole bottle of water and I'm thirsty already. But the waters that he's talking about, he'll quench your thirst. You will never thirst again. Verse 14, and whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the waters that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Wow, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Go with me real quick to John chapter 6, and we'll come back to chapter 4, but go with me to John chapter 6. I just want you to see these verses and take a good look at this. Praise God. Amen. Are you here? Are you receiving this today? All right, praise God. John chapter 6, and look at this verse here. And I want you to go to John chapter 6, and I want you to look at, John chapter 7, I'm sorry, I thought it was 6, but it's not, that's not the scripture I want, but John chapter 7, and you'll look there with me, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. And listen to what he says here. On that day, on that great day of the feast. So here Jesus is at a feast, right? What does that mean? There's all kinds of people are gathered. They're all gathered and they've come for the feast. And let me just throw this out at you on why this is important about what Jesus is about to say. Because of the fact that he's there at the Feast of Tabernacles. What is this feast? This Feast of Tabernacles is an 8-day festival. For 8 days, they're going to partake of this activity, right? How many know that in the Bible times, boy, they would have like these are 8 days. Sometimes when you read in the Bible, do you know that they would have parties and gathering for days? When you read the Bible about Job, you know, when you read the way that it reads in there is, for example, Job, someone in his family would have a big old gathering, amen. They'd have carne asada and invite everybody, and they're there, and they're doing this. And then they would go to the other sister's house, and they'd be there for days and days and days. And then they'd go to the other person's house. That's why Job, when he would pray, the Bible says that Job would pray for them and he would say, it may be that they have sinned, that they've cursed God, because all they're doing is what? Partying. So when you read that in the book of Job, is that he's praying for them because all they're doing is party spirit. You know, it's okay to have a party spirit, but when life is made up of party, 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 watch out, man. It's not good. That's why the Bible, did you ever read the scripture that says that it's better to go to the funeral than to a party? Well, read it. It's in the Bible. It tells you, why would he tell you it's better to go to a funeral than a party? Because when you go to a funeral, it allots you time to begin to think about your life, look at your life, see where you're at, and you begin to get a perspective of your life in comparison to eternal life and being here on earth. What am I doing? Remember that? I remember when I hit 40. When I first hit 40 years old, I thought about, man, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? I'm 40. And then when I hit 50, I was like, man, what am I really doing? Man, now, you know, and my brother's already 60, and some of you, how old are you, bro? Oh, okay, and he's already 60. I don't know who else is. Anybody else here 60? Andre, 70. Wow. But I, you know, and even now, you know what I was doing, actually? Because I'm going to be 60 now. I'm going to be 60 in January. I was going through my mail, man. I'm looking at my Social Security stuff. They're telling me, the thing says, if you keep working until you're 60, I think they're 67. I got it written down. But they're telling me, if you keep working to 67, man, you're going to get this much money. And then it says, if you keep working till you're 70, then you'll get this much money. I'm looking at the numbers and all that, and I'm like, oh, shoot, man, I can make $900 more if I persevere and keep working. And I'm like, you know, who needs $900 more? I do. That's who. Maybe you don't, but I do. Offerings are low. People trust me. No. But, you know, for the first time, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking about that, you know. So let me get back to my point here. Where was I? Okay, let's see. The party. Oh, yeah. So that's why in the Bible, you know, the feasts, as they would go, and that's why when you look at the Bible, you'll find like different feasts and festivals, and then you'll look at also where they would party for days and months, you know. When a king would throw a party, they didn't just, you know, one day. You know, one time they had a party, and they went and took the utensils from the house of God, and they used those cups to begin to pour down the booze and drink out of it. And then, of course, the handwriting of God came on the wall and wrote on them, wrote a bunch of stuff on there, and boom, judgment time came down. And so that's why I'm saying to you that, you know, here, this particular festival, they're already, it's an 8-day event, and they're there, and they're gathered for this time. And listen to this. So it's the Feast of Tabernacles, an 8-day festival that begins at sundown on the first day of the feast. And you can go to the Jewish calendar and see, you know, when it comes and happens. The gospel records that our Lord Jesus not only celebrated the festival, but he took the traditional elements. So within that festival, they would take the traditional elements of the celebration, and he applied it onto his own life and mission. And we find this particular, that's why in John chapter 7 here that we're reading here, why was it critical, or why did he take that opportunity? Because this Feast of Tabernacle was a celebration of water and light. And so he takes this opportunity to stand up and do this. And that's why, as you look at this, go back with me to verse 7. Where are we at? Is that where we're at? Verse 37, right? Man, these are the wrong glasses. I can't. But anyways, John chapter 7, verse 37. On that day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. How many know that, man, that's a heavy statement in the middle of a festival, in the middle of a celebration? He takes the opportunity to let them know, anybody here thirsty? Anybody thirst? As the crowds, the multitude. And he says, if anyone thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Look at verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or one translation, out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water. And look at verse 39, what he says. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen? Go back with me to John chapter 4, and we're going to close off. And I just want to talk to you about what happens when we begin to drink from the living waters. What really happens? Well, what happens when you drink a lot of booze? You get drunk, you get under the influence, and if you were anything like me, I would lose control and wake up in jail. And I'm, how did I get here? And I know some of you are really holy and don't know what I'm talking about. But now, what I want to do is, the reason, now, you know, the only reason I bring that up is because you can relate to it. And the reason I bring that up is because we need to also drink of the living waters so that we can get under the influence of kingdom, of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to. So go back with me to John chapter 4, and I just want to bring out a couple different things. Number one, I believe this, the five things that this water will produce within our life. Five things that this water will create. Number one, you will never thirst again. Amen? You'll never thirst again. Look at John 4:15. Listen what he says there. The woman said, "Give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Amen? And man, I'll tell you what, that's why Jesus, he keeps saying that, man, if you drink of this water, you're never going to thirst again. You know, sometimes in our life, we go through life, man, and we're always thirsty, you know, meaning that, our thirst or our, you know, it's like if we can't quench or get satisfied within our life. And Jesus brings satisfaction. Remember that song, Mick Jagger? What did he say? I can't get no, what? Satisfaction. See, you know the song. What Jesus is saying is that you will be satisfied. You know, if you're here today and your walk with God and your life in God is unsatisfying and you find yourself thirsting for other stuff and thirsting in other directions, it is because you have not allowed the Lord to bring that quenching of that thirst. You'll never thirst again. Number two, this water that Jesus is talking about will become a fountain within you. A fountain that springs up into everlasting life and flowing. That's such a powerful thought when you think about it. To think and to know that you have that springing up into everlasting life. Man, that's powerful. Brother, if you don't have this living water and you're not satisfied in God, man, something is wrong. Hello, are you here? Yes. Praise God. All right, here we go. Number three. One of the things that will happen is, and I believe, is that you will become a witness or a rightness. When you drink of the waters, you know what happens is you always want to be right with God. Isn't that right? It'll just create something in you where you want to be right with God. And you'll see that over in verse 16. Listen to what happens in verse 16. Jesus said unto the woman, right? Go call your husband and come here. The woman said unto him, I have no husband. And you know the story. And, you know, all of a sudden, Jesus begins to deal with an issue in her life. And maybe you've been looking for satisfaction in sexual encounters. You've been looking for satisfaction in relationships. You're looking for satisfaction in money, careers, prestige, power, whatever it is. And one of the things he lets us know is that, you know, that I believe that he begins to deal with this rightness. That when you drink of the living waters, rightness will be there, will be evident within your life. You'll want to have a rightness about your life. See, because within the context of that scripture, Jesus is saying to her, woman, go call your husband. Hey, what's my husband got to do with water? She would have said, hey, what's this got to do with what you're offering me? So that's why I say that number three is that when we're drinking of the waters, you'll want to be right with God. You'll want to do the right thing. You'll want to, if I have strife, if I have stuff going on in my heart, I want to straighten it out. You'll want to straighten it out. I don't want to live bitter. You know, I was saying earlier, you know, I'm getting ready to hit 60. Guess what? I don't want to be a bitter old guy. I want to be old, but without the bitter. Hello, are you here? Amen. I was thinking, man, like I said earlier, man, I want to make sure that I'm way into the 70s and collecting what they promised me. Amen. That's it. That's it. And give me, you know, Lord, you know, satisfy it. All right, so the fourth thing is that you'll want to worship. Look at verse 20. The Bible says there in verse 20, our fathers. Look at the woman's, verse 19, the woman said unto, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Notice how worship, drinking water, all within this context of this scripture. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, we got any true worshipers? We got any true worshipers? All right. How many know that worship, then, you know, worship is more than singing a song?
Amen.
How many know that? How many know that? It's more than singing a song. You know, the Old Testament, when you read, it says that they went up to the mountain, they offered a sacrifice, and there they worshiped God. And it didn't mean, you know, it wasn't always with an instrument. And sometimes we think that, oh my God, I got to worship God. I need somebody. Where's that guitar at? You know, and sometimes, but that's a part of it. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying that we also worship with our heart. Amen. What did Jesus say about worship? Look at verse 23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, how will they worship? They'll worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And the last thing here is that you'll be a witness. Praise God. Amen. A witness. You'll be a worshiper. You'll be a witness. You'll become a witness for the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And the reason I say a witness is because this woman goes running out and she tells everybody. She starts telling everybody, come and see a prophet. Come and see a man that told me everything about me. Come and see this prophet. And then you know what the Bible says? That she goes out to all the people and she's telling man, come and see this guy. Come and see him. Come and meet him. And then the Bible says that those people came and they believed because they heard. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, we just thank you right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Lord, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. This morning, I'm just gonna ask you, man, if you're thirsty, and if you've come to a place in your life where you're saying, Lord, give me this water that I thirst not again. I don't want to keep having to have to come to this natural well. But Lord, give me that water where I'll never thirst again. That water that quenches my thirsty soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for every person in the sound of my voice, Lord. If that's you, man, I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet before God. And I'm going to ask you just to lift your hands to the Lord. Man, my prayer is that the Lord will pour out that living water upon your thirsty soul. Father, give us that water. Lord, you said if we would have just asked. So, Father, we're asking. Lord, give us that living waters. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Father, to take a drink, to keep on drinking from that living water, that fountain, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God.